Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey's here, and the title of your column today is Alice in Washington Wonderland. Now, I'm imagining the crazy alarm clock and the cat in the tree, and I haven't read Alice in Wonderland for a long time, but all of these weird images come to mind. What is this?
Well, we all read the classic comic, I guess, the abbreviated version. No, it's just, at one point there, they're going to sentence somebody and then have the trial. In Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
And you get this kind of thing happening all the time in Washington. The rushing to judgment, the sentence, and then the trial, if you will. But it's just, when you look at the legislative, end of it and the politics and the fact that this is an off year, but a midterm election, it's just craziness abounds.
The latest is to put up with that is Internal Revenue Service Commissioner John Koskinen on the Hill today and also last week and talking about the problems with the emails. And it's funny because I did an interview while I was out last week with a national radio show, and the host started to rail on, what is this is unheard of, and this looks too convenient, and on and on. And I said, well, it might look that way from the outside, but if you'd like, I can list a whole bunch of other federal agencies who have lost important emails from any administration that you want. It's not just limited to this administration, and maybe it doesn't look as good as it could, but this isn't the first time something like this has happened, and it's not going to be the last time that something like this has happened. And if this were a private sector company, you'd never know the difference.
Well, and I was recalling, too, the time when Richard Nixon's secretary, Rosemary Wood, said she mistakenly erased 14 minutes of a tape or something like that. I'm surprised they released any of the tape. It would have gone in the fire if I had been doing that. But the bottom line is, and I remember pictures of her, and it showed how she'd have to be a contortionist in order to do those two things at the same time and erase it. But, I think there's so much partisanship in this city now, not just this issue, but the right-left divide, that's part of the Alice in Wonderland aspect, except none of it's funny.
Uh-huh. You write in the column today about the Internal Revenue Service and the Social Security Administration getting, as you write, smaller, slower, and less efficient.
Yeah.
That is not the do more with less that everybody has suggested for the last several years was going to happen. And I'll take a little bit of pride in saying that we've been talking on this program, not just you and I, but a lot of my guests, about the fact that doing more with less isn't ever going to happen. It's going to be doing less with less, and it's how you set those priorities. Unfortunately, at the two agencies that you write about in your column today, there's not much margin for error.
Well, one of the things, too, that I think a lot of people forget about, because you and I, we're in the computer world. Most of the people that listen to your show are in the computer world and the workaday world, and we understand emails and how to do things online. The assumption of a lot of people like that is that everybody can do that, and they can't.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of older people. There are lots of younger people who don't have the means, maybe have never been around a computer, who simply can't do it. And in two particular agencies, the Internal Revenue Service, the place that collects your money, and if you don't pay, you go to jail, and the Social Security Administration, which takes care of 1 in 6 Americans in some form or other, you have to have telephone lines for those agencies, and you're probably going to have telephone lines and human operators for another 20 or 30 years before everybody in the country is computer efficient, and then we can go to the computers. And as we see from the IRS with those blackouts, problems happen there too. But it is, to me, it's outrageous that and I know it bothers the IRS and bothers Social Security that those two agencies doing what they do have such long wait times on the phone now because of the fact they don't have the people.
Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey, you write, while the IRS and SSA shrink, rattle, and roll, Washington-based politicians have set the stage for an expanded role for tiny agencies like the Merit Systems Protection Board. Now, this is one of the agencies that when I do media outside of D.C., people ask me, what the heck is this? Office of Special Counsel is the other one, especially as it pertains to federal employees. What what's the premise behind your observation that MSPB might be in line for a bigger role?
Just kind of tongue in cheek. They've already had a bigger role. Normally they get between 5,000 and 6,000 cases. And these are typically, I was fired and I shouldn't have been fired. If something wrong took place, something bad, it was a vendetta, what have you. It struggles with 5,000 or 6,000 cases. Last year it had 32,000 on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
32,000 from people who were furloughed, and the unions told them, told their members to file appeals. Fortunately, they all didn't, or they would be swamped. But, you know, you can't have an agency like that. You could fit into a fairly good-sized auditorium.
Yeah.
You know, very few people. They do a good job. They do a lot of research. But this means now that more people are going to have to put into doing cases. They may have to lump them all together since everybody from the IRS was furloughed the same number of days. But even if they streamline it and don't do a very good job of reviewing it, that's just a terrible burden. And when you set up these programs where you might, with the sequestration, where you might have to have furloughs again, they've talked previously, they being the officials that run this, they say there won't be any furloughs next time. There'll be layoffs, mm-hmm. big reductions in force. And that'll cause problems because the older people, the ones you want to riff and get rid of, their high grades and maybe they're older, you want to push them out, but they'll just simply bounce down the ladder using their seniority, which they've earned, and their veterans' preference, which they've earned.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll bump the younger people out, you know, the so-called hope of the future, they'll bump them out, and you'd also have MSPB swamped with cases from if that happened.
Mm-hmm. There's a domino effect mm-hmm. that's going to happen no matter which direction this all winds
Nothing
up going,
is easy in like. Washington, no.
No, that's true. What do we expect will change any of this, if anything, or are we kind of locked into the way we're going to go for a while?
You know, so many people, and I don't know any more about it than anybody listening. But that said, I thought it was fascinating that Eric Cantor, the majority leader in the House, bright guy. I always thought it was strange he came out of Richmond, that district. But be that as it may, they say he was a rising star. He was a star. He was a star already. And he had nowhere to go but up. And all of the pundits, someone said it first, but all of the pundits said it was immigration. That was the issue that beat him. Well, a couple of things beat him that had nothing to do with immigration. One is extremely low turnout, and that happens in these primaries, and we're going to have one tomorrow in Maryland, the primary. But you had a low turnout, which means the zealots from both sides show up. Well, in the Virginia Republican Party, your zealots tend to be Tea Party or conservative. You know, there's mm-hmm. nowhere in between. I have a daughter who lives in Richmond, and I have a friend, a former Washington Post editor, who's lived there for 20 plus years, and he knows it like the back of his hand. And both of them told me 3 or 4 weeks ago that Cantor was going to lose because he had gone Washington. Mm-hmm. That was the perception. And he was hardly ever at home. He wasn't at supermarkets cutting ribbons. He was doing his job here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we criticize him for being away. He was doing his job, but at that point he needed to be down there shaking hands and kissing babies, and he wasn't doing it. And he didn't even go down on election day. He was here in Washington doing the business of the majority leader when he should have been down there, A, voting, and B, you know, B, showing up at the polls. So I to say that it was immigration reform that beat him, I think, is a guess at best.